نعم نصلي على رسول الكريم المعباد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد مادن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وهذه الغلبة. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وهذه وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
It is Allah Ta'ala's great ni'mah and treasure that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to us and given to us that this gathering of dhikr, of His remembrance, and today especially, alhamdulillah, Rabi'ul Awwal, such a great month. This is the night of Jummah, the third night of Jummah of this month. And alongside this, it's the final night of Jummah of this month. And after this, this month will end. Now, the night of Jummah, Thursday night, it comes every week, every month, throughout the year. And in front of us in every month, we see the nights of Jummah. But with this connection, it's connection with such a great month. What a great month this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in every month, inserted, instilled some virtue, blessings in Ramadan. There are the fasts, there are the days of Hajj, the Muharram month, there's Rajab. And all these months we see Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom, that Allah Ta'ala has instilled some special quality or virtue, blessing. And in this month, what is the virtue, the blessing? What is the reason that this month is so great? With this reason, that its virtue, its blessing is such that the Imamul Anbiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his greatness across and over the whole of the creation. So this month is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if this month is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you can imagine yourself that the master of the universe sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the pride of the creation and the basis of the creation of the universe, and he in this month came to this world. He was born. And greater than that, there can be no night greater than that. There can be no moment greater than that. There can be no time greater than that, in which the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to this world. Because it's connected this month to his coming to this world. So with that connection, on that basis, Allah Ta'ala, His extreme ni'mas are in this month. His rahmah, His mercies, His treasures and rewards in this month. So the purpose of saying this was that the whole month we have passed and spent in this final night of Jummah on this month, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to do His dhikr as well. But everything you have to spend according to the time and that moment that is demanding something from you. So Rabi'ul Awwal, what does it demand from us? As I said, as I mentioned, the demand of this month is the same with who it is connected to this month. So in this month, have we done that action or not done then we still have some days left of Rabiul Awwal. So don't leave this month empty or void, because in the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala will ask us and account us for all the ni'man. So if we didn't get this month, it could, before this we could have passed away, then what would we have done? So when this month Allah Ta'ala has given to us, just like Ramadan comes during the year or other months come during the year, so in this month Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to reach to this month. So what we need to see is that in this month, what should we do? What is the demand of this month on us? It demands that whoever I am connected to, I have an attachment to, linked to, then for that, do such an action, such an amal, that he becomes happy. Subhanallah. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to please him, imagine the reward. Whoever has pleased the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he has pleased Allah. Straightforward, direct links. No, there's no doubt in that. Straight path. And we still have that time. And we have the month still with us, Rabiul Awwal. So what we need to see is that how shall we please and make happy the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What action will we do that will cause him to be happy? He will be happy, pleased, because that's the objective of the servant. And Rasulullah SAW himself stated, "Man ahabba sunnati," subhanallah, that most of all I like that man, that person, that individual who does the action that I like. And the action that I like is that he should or she should or that person should do amal on my sunnah. Clear message Rasulullah SAW has given. Clear message. And the rewards are massive. Great rewards. But this is a unique reward. مَا كَانَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever does amal on my sunnah, the reward for he is that that person will go with, I will take him with me into Jannah. Mishkat is this hadith in Mishkat. So every mu'min, believer, Muslim has this desire and hope that Rasulullah ﷺ, I want to have his ziyarah, I want to see him in the dream. We do du'as, we ask people for prayers, recitation, what should we do to do ziyarah? And so fortunate are those people who with their eyes they've done the ziyarah of Rasulullah ﷺ. So that's a separate virtues for those eyes and the separate status discussion. But when Allah's Nabi says, when we speak about him, what he likes and what he is pleased with, then subhanallah, it's possible that we also do his ziyarah. It's possible. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this point is so merciful that when a person implements his sunnah, and that, for example, if you're weak or if you're lazy and for some reason you cannot implement the sunnah, you don't fulfill the sunnah, then the Holy Prophet doesn't even like that. Rather, even on this point that a person's lazy or negligent, that he gives his ziyarah even in that time. So imagine the love that Rasulullah has. There are certain waqiyat or events that I'll share with you that I know especially. The events in the books are there, but also I've seen some events in my life of experience that Rasulullah, how much he loved his sunnah. Once I was on a journey, maybe I've told you this event before, but such an event to time and repeatedly again share it and discuss it, you get thawab and also enjoyment. So it was a journey of Umrah, I think. And this was the dua that Allah Ta'ala, give me a colleague or somebody who's on my journey so I can speak to him and the time passes nicely. That I don't want somebody dry and empty sitting next to me. That's my effort. And I tried that on the journey. So I did the dua and I went towards my seat. And whilst I was there, my number came. Then I saw that next to me there's a man sitting me, mashallah. And it was somebody who resembled, you could say, me, and of my liking. He had, mashallah, sunnah libas and full beard and respect. So I was grateful to Allah and I sat there. So whilst we were traveling, and what shall I speak to him? How shall I speak to him? How shall I salam to him? And he was an Arab. So first the happiness was this, that he's an Arab. And he's also going there. So when I saw his appearance, his attire and his style, and in amongst the Arabs, seldom you'll see these things, seldom. You won't see the full beard. And he was young. And he had a black beard. So I said to him, If you don't mind, then can I ask you a question? And he said, yes, please, tell me. And I said that I have full yaqeen, certainty, and you won't refuse either. But tell me such a point that through which you attain the ziyarah of Rasulullah. And he started telling me, and my time will also pass nicely, and I have to go to Medina. And he started smiling. He said, how do you know that I could have ziyarah and see the Prophet? I said, that's afterwards, the answer. But first you tell me that event or incident in your life in which you did ziyarah of the Prophet. He said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, I did experience ziyarah, seeing the Prophet, and I'll share that with you. And I asked him for that reason, because mashallah, he was connected to the sunnah, he was adorned in the sunnah, practicing the sunnah. He said that I am a student, talib ilm, and I am studying hadith, learning hadith, or I was learning hadith at that time. And I, in the afternoon, we have our meal, our lunch, and the Holy Prophet's sunnah, I had amal. So this amal, I had established in my life, that in the afternoon, I'd go and do qailula, afternoon nap for a short while. Qailula is in the afternoon to have a short nap, a little bit of a sleep. So qailula doesn't mean that your bed is warm and you take the quilt, you start snoring and you sleep for hours on end. This is not qailula. Qailula is that maybe you're in the office and this time, just you close your eyes for a little while, you put your hand, rest on your hands 5 minutes, that's the qailula. That's the afternoon nap. Quick nap. Yeah, made it easy for you to understand? Not just you have to have a bed, warm bed. Qailula means the afternoon nap. First is your niyyah, that I am practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah. That's the first thing. Step number one, niyyah. If you're working somewhere, lunchtime you have, or a break time, maybe you eat some food, bread and sandwiches, whatever your lunch is here. So at that time, sit on your chair, close your eyes, and make the niyyah of the sunnah, and just to the right side. To the right side, just turn yourself and close your eyes, and then however much rest Allah wants to give you, and when your eyes open, then wipe your hands on your face, and alhamdulillah, qailula, completed. So, very common sunnah, we think it's a small thing, we think, oh, it's not necessary, we don't have to do this. The biggest thing that I'm sharing this with you is that any sunnah of Rasulullah is not small scale or minor at all. There's no sunnah that is minor or small. How can it be that something that gives you ziyarah, I'm not talking about big actions, I'm just talking about normal actions. So imagine the big sunnahs then, what their magnitude and their blessings, and how much displeasure there must be for not practicing it, and how much happiness there must be of the Prophet ﷺ for practicing. Because our amal are presented, this in the hadith. So, he said that I had a habit, the student, that according to my habit, I was very tired that day. There was a lot of work to do, homework, sabak. He said that I had to complete the qailula according to the sunnah. So I went straight to my room. I was tired. And rather, instead of the right side, I tossed to the left side. I turned to the left side and lay down. So he said, on the left, when I slept on the left side, obviously it's an opposition to the sunnah method. The sunnah is this, that you lie down on the right side and you sleep on that side. So imagine this, that Rasulullah, how much he loves the sunnah, when a person is practicing sunnah regularly and he is leaving the sunnah or rejecting it, then the Holy Prophet, what does he feel at the time? Hey, imagine this from this event. He said, as soon as I laid and I hadn't even slept, I was awake, suddenly I saw that the Holy Prophet came through the door and he looked at me and said, in Arabic, hey, you have rejected my sunnah, you discarded my sunnah. And then he said, I suddenly got up. And he said, then the vision ended. So he said, at that time I recited Astaghfirullah quite a few times, then quite a long time. I thought, well, what mistake I've made. And then he shared this event with me. Now you can imagine that sunnah, how great is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ through this event. How great is the sunnah that alhamdulillah, due to which the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how much he becomes pleased with that person. And what a big part of the deen it is. Big part of the deen. There was another individual brother who came and he entered into our silsila, into our order. He was in a different silsila before and he was a pious person, a good person. And he had, mashallah, his heart was soft and tender, and he sat with me. And obviously we are Naqshbandi, our start is from the Sunnah. We initiate from the Sunnah. This silsila, Naqshbandiya, the Naqshbandi order, it starts from the Sunnah. Without the Sunnah, there is no silsila. So I gave him talqeen about the Sunnah, I encouraged him, I used to see him, that his azar, his shalwar, his lower garment used to be below his ankles. And I used to feel a little bit of, you can say, a feeling that, you know, I reminded him that this is the Sunnah of Rasulullah, that raise your garment above the ankles. Now look here, in our eyes, in our society, how much emphasis there is. And nobody cares about this, raising the garment above the ankles. Nobody cares. So this is the situation, that if you have the ihtiram and respect and honor of the Holy Prophet's Sunnah, then it makes you elevated and gives you high status, the Sunnah. So that individually heard what I said, but he didn't probably accept it in his heart. I said, he said, oh, this is a minor thing, Hazrat. What are you telling me? It's a minor thing. That's it. So some people say this after as well. Though, for example, he said, no, it's okay. It's no big deal. Other people do this. That pious elder does this. This scholar does this. This sheikh does this. That they think that they are sheikhs. To us, anyone who is acting in opposition to the Sunnah cannot be a wali Allah. He cannot be a pious person, does my feet flying the air or floating through the water, doesn't matter. Due to the barakah of my sheikh, my yaqeen is so strong, doesn't matter what he is, but it has to be on the sunnah lifestyle. Otherwise he cannot be pious, he cannot be a wali Allah. He's down, he's a game. It's a drama, it's the idraj. It's like a mirage, that person. Anyway. So he left after I gave him that advice and he went and slept at night. And after sleeping, next day when he came to me crying, he was shaking. I said, what happened? He said, Hazrat, I've come to request forgiveness. I said, why? He said that when I was speaking to you and I left, I departed. When I went, and as soon as I closed my eyes to sleep, then I saw that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not his whole body, just his lower garment, I saw him walking and his blessed feet and his izar, yani his dhoti, Sharif, was high above the ankles. Rather, it was halfway down his calves. And he said that I suddenly got up there. What is this I'm seeing? So I recognized and realized at that time that I thought the opposite. So this is the second incident I've shared with you. Imagine from these incidents that what is the sunnah of Rasulullah. So without the sunnah, there's nothing in life, my friends, my brothers, nothing. And there are many events like this in the lives of the pious predecessors, pious people. That there was a pious elder, great sheikh. And he was going somewhere. He was on a journey. And he was tired. His eyes closed. And he didn't fulfill the sunnah practice. And he just prayed salam, went to sleep. Soon as his eyes closed, immediately the Prophet ﷺ appeared, came and said, I'm surprised that today you have discarded and left my sunnah. Allah's Nabi ﷺ came to him. So piety equals implementation of the sunnah. Piety equals implementation of the sunnah. We're working hard, but if you're working hard on the wrong track, then there's no effect. No, what is that life in which Rasulullah's obedience is not there? What is that life? We're not doing it for this reason. It doesn't mean what I'm saying, that if we do it, we'll do ziyarah. No. This is no link connection to ziyarah. Yeah? That's not why I'm saying we have to practice the sunnah, because Allah and His Rasul will become happy with us. So we will attain intercession and shifa. And so that our amal will be accepted. This is the reason why we have to practice the sunnah. That's the underlying reason. That's the real objective of what we are after. There was another sheikh in the Naqshbandi order. Naqshbandi says, Hazrat Ali Ahmad, Naqshbandi Mujaddidi. Now what we see here, what are we studying now here? We're doing dhikr and we do khatam khwajgan. But look at the ihtiram, the respect and esteem of dhikr. Because there's many hadith on this subject. And the pious elders have taught us the khatam khwajgan that we will start reciting soon when we start the majlis. We have to have respect for this, understanding for this. So he said, this sheikh, that I was given hukam by the Holy Prophet, and these are his words I'm telling you, that you should assemble the majlis and do khatam khwajgan, the specific ibadah, and you'll get ni'mah, subhanallah, say subhanallah. So that's the example we've given it. So you do khatam qajgan, your eyes are closed, somebody's not doing it with the full attention of heart. Sit alert that Allah's rahmas are descending and raining down when you are in the majlis of dhikr and khatam qajgan, whoever's in that gathering. So these events that are coming to my mind, I'm just sharing with you. I'm sharing with you. So he said that I started khatam qajgan. And Khatam Qajgan, he said that while I was doing it, the Ithali Thawab, when we start Khatam Qajgan, we do dua, we ask Allah to send the reward to the pious elders, and you will, mashallah, recite the Shajara. So for the pious elders in our silsila, we read a verse of the Quran, then we ask Allah to give the Thawab to them, Ithali Thawab, and at the end we do the dua. That Allah, all of the Thawab from the verses that we recited, that you assign that to those pious elders, the Walis of Allah, and the for yous and the blessings of this gathering, please give to us. And so that silsila starts. You think this doesn't happen, but I'm explaining to you clearly how it doesn't happen. Of course it happens. So he said, I started reciting Khatam Qajgan. He said, what did I see? Then he said, I saw he was a pious elder. MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala wanted him to see this. He said that me and the sheikhs who are reciting Khatam Qajgan, they were all with me. And we all are walking. And where are we going? To the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's court, to his presence. And we went there. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in a big room and we couldn't go in there. So we just stood there against the boundary and we thought we were there and did the ziyarah of the Holy Prophet. And so he said that for quite a long time we did ziyarah. Then after that, all of us who were there and all those mashayikh who we recited the Khatam Qajgan for, he said that when we then left, and he said that I saw that in my hand was a bunch of flowers that Rasulullah ﷺ had assigned to me, given to me. And he said, I attained that now. So the same wali Allah says that once I was reading Quran, reciting Quran, and my legs, for example, I spread the legs out to recite the Quran. This is permissible, but it's against the sunnah. For example, if you wear something, it's jais, you can observe the salah. But that, for example, libas, that the way that Rasulullah used to do things, if we do it in that way, there's a difference. It's different. So it's not about permissible or not permissible. Here it's about the love and the attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because every man tries to become an ashik, a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone wants to be a lover of Allah, recite nasheed, I'm an ashik. Do this action, I'm an ashik. Everyone wants to prove that they are lovers of the Islam. But brothers, if you do the actions correctly, according to the sunnah, then ishq will come automatically into our heart. But we don't want to do that because nafs and shaitan, they are big forces against us. So he said, I was reading Quran. And a big sheikh, great wali Allah, and his condition here, his example, that I showed, he said, my legs, that I spread them out, put them out, and just started reading around. Immediately, I got a warning from the Prophet ﷺ that you are sitting in the wrong way and you're reciting Quran in the wrong way. He said, immediately from that day until today, that I never dared that I sit in a bi'adab manner, in a disrespectful manner, and recite the Quran. So sunnah is such a path, my friends, that without this, a person cannot be successful until we don't bring the tariq and the lifestyle and the habits of the Holy Prophet ﷺ into our life, in all our actions. And how will our life be correct? No action of ours will be accepted. It will be without nur, without the light. All day we practice and do ibadah, but there's no nur, no light. There's no light in that action without the sunnah. So this dhikr that you're going to do, if there's no sunnah in your life, then it will be a waste. Yes, there will be no light in your ibadah, in your worship. Remember this. All night long I can sit and tell you events that concur with this, about pious elders who experience this fact. So this is the month of Rabiul Awwal that we're sitting in. So what do we need to do? What action do we need to do, subhanAllah? Is that how do we attain the barakat and the blessings and virtues of Rabiul Awwal so much? Why? Because this month is connected to who? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So his maqam, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam maqam, versus the rest of the creation, same this month is maqam is so great. So we're doing all other actions to attain the love of Allah and the Rasulullah Sallam. But we should do that action which attains the pleasure and the happiness of the Holy Prophet Sallam. What is the action? That we should, in this month, we should promise to Allah, that we should promise to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that our whole life from now on, from morning until night, we will spend our life in obedience to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's it. Make that promise to Allah. Make a pact. Make a pact and accord that Allah, you've given us this month and we want to attain the blessings of this month. We want the shifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't want to lose out. We want his mercy. We want his blessings. So he was rahmatul lil alameen. And rahmah will come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are making a big mistake in our lives if we are living our life without the color of his sunnah. What is life from morning until evening from Muslim? Imagine the command that there's no Nabi who has this fact attached to him, that this was not their objective when they came, that Allah wanted us to practice and obey the Prophet. So every single example of his life, A to Z, Allah preserved until Qiyamah. I'm a tajir, for example, a businessman. Okay, that how do we do it? We don't wander around, look at what to do. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrate tijara to us? All of that detail, how did the Sahaba implement? Not one, pick up all the hadith. Sahih Bukhari, Muwatta Imam Malik, Sihah Sitta. You will learn these facts from these hadith books. How to run the business. How to be a businessman. How can you do tijara according to your own desires and opinions? How can you? Tell me. Yes, if you want to be a good husband, what does that mean? Such a husband who is a husband, and he's in the world, but he's earning his hereafter at the same time. He's doing ibadah, worship on the high level. So what type of husband? Subhanallah. Just like the husband of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, Hazrat Hafsa radiyallahu anha, Hazrat Salma radiyallahu anha's husband. What was his lifestyle? What was his habit? What was his method of being a husband? And for us, we just have, for example, how many azwaj he had? We have just one. And mashallah, everyone he had, subhanallah, unique attachment to and practice with. And he demonstrated and showed to the whole ummah that with this woman this happened, and with this wife this happened, and with this wife I had this lifestyle and I had these experiences. And we have problems. Oh, give divorce, or separate, or go here, or bring her here, or send her there. Why? Because why is there curse in our life? Why is there wretchedness in our life? Because we've left the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not just salah that we imitate him in, of the sunnah. Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a gift of treasure to the ummah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no better husband than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no better father than he. There was no one more who loved his daughter than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no one who loved his grandchildren more than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no one more than he who looked after the people around him. There was no greater commander than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no greater one who fought than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no greater one than he who mended the broken ties. There was no one greater than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam who forgave the enemies. There was no one greater than he who was more courageous. Nobody in the world, no one who ever came or will come, no one from the Sahaba, nobody. I can share events with you. Top of the list in every example, to this extent, to this extreme, that even a person who disbelieves, he wrote a kitab. And he wrote in the kitab the 100 greatest people in history from the beginning of time. And whilst he was writing, his pen stopped. And he said, number one in the list from, I have to accept, and a disbeliever saying this, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, he is the number one in the list from the 100 greatest people in history. Book is there. Why didn't he believe? That's in Allah Ta'ala's control and wisdom. Yes, if he didn't have the nafs, then he would have brought the iman as well. So the person who doesn't have iman, he accepts this, that the best person in history, the person who ran the kingdom the best, the person who was the best minister, the person who ran the society the best, the best neighbor. Yani in every facet of life, every example, a turn of life, phase of life, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, traveling, all the parts of our life were present in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life as well. And apart from being present in his life, second point is that all his practices in this regard were preserved. If you feel like I want to be this, then how do I practice this? Then don't go anywhere. Don't look left or right. Just pick up the sunnah kitab and understand the sunnah methodology. Then on that, become such lovers Allah Ta'ala created that the detail, they wrote the kitabs in detail and distributed them amongst the ummah. Detail. Immense detail so that people understand and learn the details. And those who don't believe, they'll never believe. That's their choice. But tomorrow when the question will be asked on the Day of Judgment, no one of us from us can give an excuse. I didn't know, there was no detail. Allah will say, why didn't you practice sunnah? You can't reply, I didn't know Allah. I didn't know, no, no, you can't. This member of Mehrab, what are they? They are here to explain the sunnah. The khutbat, sermons are to explain the sunnah. The members and the Mehrabs in the masjids are to explain the sunnah. There's no reader of the objective. If something else is being taught, they're just dramas and stories. Objective of everything is explain the sunnah. Why? Because the objective of the universe was the sunnah. The objective of the universe was the sunnah. That to please Allah. And Allah says, if you want to please me, then please my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. Clear, crystal clear. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And you say, oh believer, Allah, I love you. Allah, I am a lover of you. I love you, Allah. I want to follow your deen. Allah, I am looking for your nearness. I want to get your connection. Allah, where are you? How can I get near to you? Yes, it's very easy, Allah says. Straight path I've defined. That I sent my Mahbub, the Prophet Muhammad SAW, amongst you. Follow him. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Clear guidance. And your status will become so great after that, your bibkum Allah, that you have no need to say that you love Allah. Rather, Allah says, I will start loving you myself. Subhanallah. So whole body, morning, you wake up, make an niyyah, intention, Allah, all day today, I'm going to obey the sunnah. That whole day of your search and ibadah will become worship. That all your actions will become accepted via the sunnah. All your ibadat will become accepted due to the sunnah. Your employment will become worship. Your sitting in your car will be ibadah. Your speaking to other people, shopping, buying the meat, buying rice, going to the shops, to the stores, shopping center, all will become ibadah. Now, how did the Prophet do this? I'll do the same way. Become sunnah. So this is deen. This is Islam. This is the Quran. This is the Quran. This is the tafsir of the Quran is the sunnah. Sunnah is the tafsir of the Quran that I'm telling you. Yes, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, didn't she say that the Prophet is the walking, talking Quran? The Qurans that came after, printed versions, they're separate. But there's no greater Quran than the physical Quran of the Sunnah. So Rabiul Awwal came to tell us this message this month. So that you, me, us, all of us, if we don't make this intention, if we don't pull ourselves together, that how much in our lives we are discarding the sunnah. There are deficiencies in us, anger, bad habits, bad actions. Tuck, go straight. What does the sunnah say with regards to this in my life? Get the guidance. Relationship with your relatives, how you should be with your friends, the bond, the relationship, the nearness to your friends. Everything goes back to one source. How did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ teach us this? Very easily you'll get the solutions and the answers and the guidance. If you're going to Google, even maybe there you'll get some answer. Yeah, but you won't get the true understanding except from the Sunnah. So we should make this understanding and promise. Otherwise, remember that every day is drawing us nearer to the grave. What does the Quran say? That when a person dies, now this is Quran, when a person dies, then Allah Ta'ala gives a solution. When a person passes away, then at that time he realizes. Allah Ta'ala also creates that realization. The Quran is telling us this. What is that realization? Oh, ho, hi, I've wasted my life. Yeah, if only I'd kept the full length beard, it would have been good. Oh, if only I'd prayed Salah on time, how better it would have been. Oh, if only I'd implemented the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, it would have been good. So these thoughts are coming in his mind when he's dying, because the dunya, he's being disconnected. No, though I should have made more shops. And then he starts hating everything in the dunya. Quran tells us this. And this time is going to come to us. The shop, the employment, business, dunya, right, like poison for us now. And that time you'll hate all those things, your children, your relationship with people will be cutting. At that time you're dying and you're about to pass away, the breath is being drawn out of you. The Quran is telling us this. He's about to die. Then that person has a desire. Allah will create that desire. Allah, if only, ya Allah, if only I wasted so much time. Allah, he says at the time of death, how many Rabiul Awwals came and I wasted all of them. And if I had at least in one Rabiul Awwal made a promise to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet of Allah, that how great I would have become at that time. That my life would have been according to the sunnah. All I had to do is say at that time, that Allah, this whole day when you wake up in the morning, I'll spend the day according to sunnah, my clothes, my wearing, my standing, my waking, my eating, my going, doing wudu, going to the toilet. Everything I'll do away the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that style, in that lifestyle habit. I won't eat or drink away from that. I'll just do exactly how Rasulullah did. If by mistake I do something in the opposite way, immediately I'll do istighfar, I'll repent, I'll come back. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullah alayh, in his final time when he was about to pass away. This is the example of the love of the sunnah. So at that time he had a sudden desire. He had a sudden sort of feeling, emotion. And they said, Hazrat, what is it? He said, is there any child? Is there any child around here? A child who's recently born. What is it? What is it? They said, why do you... He said, please bring that child to me. Say, Subhanallah. So his attendants went and looked that if there's a child a few days old, bring him. As soon as they brought the child and he took the child in his lap and that child passed the urine, he said that this sunnah I had not fulfilled in my life. So what face would I show to the Holy Prophet after I died if I had not fulfilled this sunnah? Tell me. Imagine so much caution. He exercised so much caution that this sunnah I've not implemented. Once the child came and he did this, he said that also this should happen with me in my life. So this is not about fard or wajib or compulsory or necessary. Look at the importance that he had of sunnah in his life. That any action that the Holy Prophet ﷺ explained or performed, that it cannot be that if I can do it and I don't do it before I pass away. If I've got the courage and the strength, then I should definitely practice that. So who doesn't have strength? Who cannot take the cap off his head and put an imam on? Tell me. Who doesn't have the energy in his body to take a topi off his head and put the imamah around his head? Who doesn't? Even a young child, even the children put the imams on first, but our other elders, they hear big things, nafal, umrah, hajj, this and that. But the real action, they don't want to do it. Brothers, I've seen people from the Rauda Mubarak, the holy grave of the Prophet Zam, being expelled. Mufti Taqi Sahib himself said that my father, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a lover of Rasulullah, he was on Umrah. And this was his style, with adab, due to manners. He used to stay at the back. He wouldn't go right in front of the Rauda Mubarak, the holy fence, when he'd go to present himself, when he'd go to do ziyarah. So he'd stay at the back. And he stood there, doing salam, durood, for a long time. He said, I thought for that, look at people, they're getting closer to the jali, to the rawda, they're doing salam. And how unfortunate I am, I'm sinful. I can't even go forward. I can't go close and near to the rawda. I don't have that courage, I don't have the strength to do that. And then the voice came to his ears. They were great personalities, these people. And then the voice came to his ears. He said, the Shafi, I'm close to that person who does amal on my sunnah, even if he's thousands of miles away from me, but I'm close to him. Don't look at the distance. I am close to that person. And then he also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these words I've said to you, go and tell the people that I've said this to you. Subhanallah, he said, that's why I'm telling you this today. Otherwise I'd never share this with you. And this was Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah. And his son himself has shared this with the people today. That's why I'm telling you these words in a gathering. He said, otherwise I wouldn't tell you. That thousands of miles away that person might be, Rasulullah said to him, but he is closer to me and I've seen these things in myself in my life. The person without the beard, he's in front of the Rauza Mubarak crying, and he was pushed, shoved. He was expelled from there. Rasulullah expelled him. Be'adab, disrespectful. How can he be stood in my court? Take him out of it. So, there are hadith enough to make us understand this. So my brothers, this reality that we are discussing today, how much will we hide this from our lives and then call ourselves good people? Why do we, same way, just like I was saying, that at that time the person who's dying, passing away, he'll say, Allah, everything's a waste, if only for, he's thinking while he's passing away, that I've wasted time, how quickly my life has gone, if I'd done this, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done this. Ask a person who's dying, whilst he's dying, he'll tell you. And then we say, the person who's dying, oh, stay alive, give him medicine, keep him alive, save his life, but he's in a different phase at that time. And the Quran tells us this, that he'll say, Allah, Allah Ta'ala, cannot be that you send me back into the world. I promised you, Allah, all my actions I'll do correctly at the right time, on time. I won't waste my time, Allah. He'll be saying this whilst he's dying. So do you want to have this experience whilst you're dying? While you're dying? Tell me. that how much every day, like take the estimate of one day, then this day, how much did I earn for the hereafter? Take this day that's just passed. How much of a connection did I have with the Holy Prophet? And only that person has a connection with Rasulullah, his face, appearance, libas, walking, talking, lifestyle, getting up, ibadat, worship, connection with the world, everything according to the sunnah. The more you have the sunnah amal in your life, then the more your connection and nearness is with Rasulullah, and extremely strong it will be. And there's no two meanings to this. There's no element of doubt in this point. There's no need for ziyarah. 100% Rasulullah's tawajjuh and attention will be on that person. His rahmah and fazilah will be that person, that woman and that man who are following the sunnah. So this is Deenul Islam. So we, that if you just do half of this and half of that, today's gone, okay, tomorrow's coming. Do istighfar, the day that's going to come tomorrow. Before you, when you get up in the morning, first and foremost, promise Allah, I have to do wudu, I have to go to the toilet, I have to change my clothes, I have to have breakfast. All these actions, allow me to do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. Make that niyyah and request. And keep a book, it should be a book in your house, in which there are all tariqas and methods of the sunnah. You should have the kitab. All the tariqas of the sunnah should be present. There are kitabs like this. Buy something or obtain a book like that. Yes, spend like your money on other things here and there. Then purchase a book you can buy from a store or somewhere, from an outlet. Have some determination. Those who don't understand how to read them, pick, open the book and read the pages. That this is the sunnah of this action. You do it two times and then you'll become habitual and you'll remember that method. If you don't know the du'as, no problem. At least you've remembered the method physically. And azim is so great. The small sunnahs, we say they're small sunnahs, we consider them small. Nothing is small. The lying down on the right side, putting the hand underneath, and turning to the other side. Then when you wake up, when the eyes open, what to do? All of these are tariqas of Rasulullah. All of this will become your ibadah, worship all night long. It will become your habit. When you go to the grave, then you'll go in that same way. You'll wake up, and you'll speak, and you'll be alert. If you have the tariqah, the angel will say, oh, leave him, because the doors of Jannah are open into his grave. We don't need to question this person, the angel will say, in his grave. Come back. Oh, we made a mistake, we shouldn't have pestered him. Subhanallah. And if you make a mistake and not practicing the sunnah, oh, I eat the wrong way, I'll do it, correct it. If you go into the toilet the wrong way, come back out, then go back in the right way, into the toilet, into the bathroom. So this is the caution and adab and manners for this month. And if we want to take benefit from this, then the right time, in the right way, in the right method, those who are already doing, look at your deficiencies. That today, how much on time did I do the things right, and how much did I do in opposition? Going into the car, walking, sitting, eating, taking, giving. And don't think this is a minor thing. Naqshbandi can never consider the sunnah as a minor. Never. The more you consider it a minor, may Allah forgive, Allah forgive, then he's in danger, his iman's in danger. And then wasawis will come to him, whispering, negative thoughts. The time of death, he will be in extreme danger, that individual. Remember this, he who discards the sunnah, or doesn't pay attention to the sunnah, or doesn't hold in high esteem, because he doesn't have that power of the sunnah in his life. Remember, as I said, there's no restriction, for example, I do it for this reason or this hikmah. No, you should have the power. The Rasulullah did this action. He did this action, so we should, but we only do those actions where there's a punishment. If I don't do it, there's this punishment, then we do it. Oh, if I don't do this, there'll be this punishment. Don't look at these conditions. We don't do it, the action, for this reason, that if I do this action, I'll get muhabbat and shifat and the love and the intercession of Rasulullah and Allah's love I'll attain as well. We don't do action for that reason. If we say that we are attached to Rasulullah, Wali Wala said a great poem, because he was an ashik. Great. And he sealed, he said that we are attached to the Prophet Muhammad, we are yours, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this world? That everything that is there is attached to you. That everything where the destiny is written, where Allah has written it, that he, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest personality who ever came to this earth. Such a great statement, he said. Yes, that he has the greatest right. That he said, how can I praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Such words. And he was a lover. He said, how do I praise you? How do I explain your greatness? He said, his praise is so much enough that after Allah, all praises are due to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Allah. Can I say more than that? There's no quarrel on this point. There's no restriction on this point. It's that the kitabs, you can write books and volumes and the oceans that will finish, the ink will finish, but the praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not finish. His praise will never end. So the reality of the Prophet ﷺ, the Anbiya couldn't understand, Jibreel alayhi ﷺ couldn't understand, that nobody in the universe could understand the reality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then me and you, what reality will we understand? We have been, this just been given one instruction, one hukam, that you can understand him, that Allah ta'ala sends durood on Rasulullah sallam, so you should also send durood on Rasulullah sallam. At least understand this point. Look at this great reality Allah is explaining to us. That if Allah the Creator himself is sending durood, and his angels give salam, then about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then imitate him. Just imitate. No, no, I don't need to imitate him. We want to imitate other people. We want to imitate that person or that person. Walad-dallin. We enjoy doing their nakal and imitation. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladina anamta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim, walad-dallin. We've left the right, the people of Rabud, and who've come in front? The ghadab people. The people who are astray. Their praises we want to hear. We like them. We like to have their love. They're embedded in our hearts. Imagine. What are we saying? Praying salah. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Allah siratal ladina anamta alayhim. And then a person who says this, that person who I don't like. Why do we say that at that time? We prefer the other side. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. I like that instead. This is really what we're saying. We like them. But I'm asking Allah, ihdina siratal mustaqim, give me hidayah. But really I like Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Never can hidayah come to that person. Such a big wazifa is this. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Who recites it from the depths of his heart will never go astray. Never go astray. Astray, misguidance can never come to his life. If with iman, this is a karam, guarantee of Allah that he will depart this world with iman. What is that person asking for? But we never ask this. Because we do something else, we'll wear that other libas. Wala dalin. Tomorrow you'll see a Jummah, the libas. And the mashallah Jummah people praying. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. How much you'll see that? Tomorrow Jummah. And there'll be nobody to listen to them. Nobody to tell them. Nobody will dare to explain to them what is right. And what are we doing? Ihdina siratal mustaqim. We're saying, Allah, my hands are here. And we're swaying and praying and doing du'as. And our hands will be up to the roof. For hours, ameen, ameen. And the lights are dimmed sometimes in Ramadan, etc. What is this? Is that drama? How long is this drama going to carry on in our lives for? What is this game? What deen is this that we're practicing? Yes. Oh, the he does this and he says this and he does the action. Nil, 0.0. You'll attain from that. Until you don't obey and implement the sunnah. This is the announcement of Allah. And that's the reason I'm saying this is because I am fulfilling the rights of Rabiul Awwal by saying this fact. That's in my control. That's in my control. I'm fulfilling the rights of this month. What else can I do, tell me? Yeah, that I should practice myself and I should explain to you as well. Yes, otherwise death will come. And the way Allah said in the Quran, Allah, I made a mistake. If only one Rabi'ullah will give me a chance. Allah, send me back in the world. Give me a little bit more time so I can do it again. But the person who's gone, he's gone. The grave is waiting for him. Either he makes a grave such that as soon as he enters, that the ribs are overlapped and squeezed so much that the grave squeezes a person. The person's ribs, they are overlapping each other, squeezing. Yes, so people understand the subject properly and do practice, subhanAllah. Then when they go in the grave, they say, what five-star hotel has been arranged for me? What is this? I had to go into the grave. Where have I come to? Carpet, lush surroundings and fragrance and beautiful smell. What is this? He says, the person going to the grave. That should have come here before, quickly. Yes, but let me wait here. He says, who's coming in? The subhanAllah, they say, wait. That he will come, who you used to do his nakal, impersonate. Imagine that those beautiful eyes then will do ziyarah of Rasulullah in the grave in that condition. So this is Rabiul Awwal, the haq, the right of this month. Do you understand the points I made? Yes, promise now that after this, the final night of Jummah, after this, there will be no night of Jummah for this month. Then the next year, who will see the next year? Who knows? Allah knows best if that year will come. So that's it. First and foremost in the life is obedience to imitation of the sunnah. I want to pray salah. Fine, pray salah. But pray salah in accordance to the sunnah. That otherwise your salah, all of them will go to waste. They'll be thrown back in your face. What salah are you praying? Who are you following by praying that salah? Who are you following? What recitation are you doing? What are you doing? First and foremost, remember what I said, that you'll be kicked from Medina. He was kicked. Get him out of the city. Where's this person gone? He has no beard and he's come in front of me and he's reciting durood and salam in front of me. And the ashik was told that, why are you worrying? You are far from me. You are close to me. You are close to me. I know who you are. Tell me. So the pious elders, through their tongues, they've shared their experience, and the Quran explained and the hadith explained, but still we don't understand. Yes, all we know in the morning, eyes open, Zulaikha, was he a man or a woman? I don't know what's going on with him. We don't understand. So sunnahs in the life are great practice. May Allah give us tawfiq to everybody, that wherever we are, whatever we are, implement the sunnah all life long, then you won't lie. And you will think before you speak. Remember, you will, mashallah, the rahmah will overcome you. You've made a promise that Rasulullah said, that Allah, he promised to follow the sunnah, Allah save him from the sin. And you'll be saved from the sin at that time. Immediately you'll have the haya, the woman will have haya, that I don't want to depart the house without parda. I don't want to live a life without parda. I promise to Allah, because Rasulullah, he's then himself does dua and ask for rahmah, that person has promised Allah for my sake, so Allah, he is lazy, negligent, Allah send you rahmah on that person to make it easy for him. And then take the sin and the vice out of that person's life. So do amal on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this tariqah, all your life you spend in that way, then it's many times better than that ziyarah, that you're asking Allah for ziyarah, but you have no sunnah lifestyle in your life. Then this is the greatest action, is to implement the sunnah physically. Okay? So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability, those who are practicing, look your deficiencies, what you're leaving out. And every morning wake up with a promise and decorate your morning and start the day that by eating, drinking, walking, talking, wandering around, everything will be in accordance to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the rusha.
Ilahi yimqum dumeri do meri hada sunnate mustafa ilahi yimqum dumeri do meri hada sunnate mustafa chade rang mujbe habibe khuda ga chade rang mujbe habibe teri hada pe meri jaan fida ho teri hada pe meri jaan fida ho ilahi maqbool meri dua imama ho chehre pe sunnat saji ho imama ho chehre pe sunnat saji ho se ya rang kamri me sina chupa ho se ya rang kamri me sina chupa ho ilahi maqbool meri dua ho takhnon se upar ye izhar mera ho takhnon se upar ye izhar mera nazar mein mere surmaye mustafa ho nazar mein mere surmaye mustafa ho ilahi maqbool meri dua qameezon tahmad ka ho noor haasil qameezon tahmad ka ho noor haasil meri har khushi wo jo teri raza ho meri har khushi wo jo teri raza ho ilahi maqbool meri dua ho qabr ho ya maidan aakhir ho aasif qabr ho ya maidan aakhir ho aafis aasif isi haal mein saana mustafa ho isi haal qabar ho ya maidan aakhir ho aasif isi haal mein saana mustafa ho ilahi maqbool meri dua ho meri har ada sunte mustafa ho
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Shafi'il muslimin. Ruhu wa jasmin al-habib. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Maulana Muhammadin. Amin. Yusbahu wa hadd. Azmi yati wa rahmatullahi wa sallam. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسرنا حسننا وجدنا وخطانا وعملنا كل سيء اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسرفت وما اعلنت وما اسفت وما تعلمت به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم لما اعطينا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه فانا اسال الله ان اعظم القبر فانا اعظم العشر فانا اعظم الانسان وادخلنا جنه معنا ولا ارجي عصي سيئه قال يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي الى دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استغفرنا بسنتك نفعنا بمحبتك واشرنا في سمرتك يا كريم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا تحمل ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربيان صغيرا اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.